today on Compassion Radio.
There is talk, I've heard it from more than one person that works very directly with Muslims. A lot of them are saying, if this is what Islam is, I don't want anything to do with it. But that doesn't mean they're becoming Christians. They're right. just becoming atheists or agnostics.
Right.
Now, if the Christians can step up and show the love of God, that will make a difference.
Welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Each day on the program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Today, we're in Lebanon, a land of breathtaking coastal plains and sprawling mountain ranges. Over the centuries, this country has seen its share of long and brutal wars, maritime prosperity, religious conquests, and infamous inhabitants, including the Canaanites spoken of in the Bible. I'm Frank Montenegro, and today we're going to listen in on part one of a conversation with Youth for Christ leader John Segarian about the challenges he faces as he seeks to raise up young missionaries. Here's Bram.
Lebanon is an interesting place, and here I sit with John Segarian. You go way back in what God's been doing in this city. Tell me about it. Tell us how you got started in ministry and what God's been doing here in this country in the past 50 years.
Well, I was born in Larnaca, Cyprus. My father was a pastor there. He was very interested in youth ministry. Somehow got involved in Beatenburg, Switzerland, when Billy Graham had the first Youth for Christ World Congress. And my dad came back to Cyprus very excited.
What year was that again?
1948.
1948.
I was just a few months old. I was born in 47. But I've seen pictures of him doing youth rallies in Cyprus. And then in 54, I was 7 years old, we came to Lebanon. That's where my parents were from originally. Mm-hmm. And he pastored in the Armenian evangelical community here for many years.
How big was the Christian community back in those days?
Well, if you go back to the mid-40s when Lebanon became independent, the Christian community, meaning Catholic, Orthodox, mm-hmm. Maronite, all of them together, was about 50%. The evangelicals.
Of course, the country now is five times the size it was back then.
I wouldn't say five times, but yeah, it definitely is bigger. Over the years, because of the Civil War from 75 to 90, more Christians have left this country than Muslims. Mm. So the Christians now, nobody has taken the census, but they think it's less than 30%.
And that, again, includes all of the other more traditional heritage.
The Protestants are only 1%.
Right. And that includes Pentecostal to Evangelical Free or Baptist.
Right, yeah. Baptist, Church of God, Presbyterian, Armenian Evangelical.
And of course, if you run around today and see who's actually actively engaged with the refugee crisis just over the hill there, and who's active in reaching youth in this country, it's very much the evangelicals.
It is, yeah.
Are they finding...
I don't want to say that nobody else is doing anything. Yeah. But evangelicals are very much involved in it, yes.
Now, how is that relationship growing now? Is there more rapprochement now between the traditional denominations and the historical Christianity of this area with these newcomers, these new evangelicals?
Yes, there is. I mean, it used to be a very contentious issue because the traditional Catholic Orthodox churches would accuse the evangelicals of stealing their sheep. Mm-hmm. And you can argue about that, but I don't want to go into that. But there's more of an understanding. And there's also a Christian awakening in the Orthodox and the Catholic Maronite Church. Not a majority, but there are groups that are very Christ-centered. And there's some cooperation with some of the evangelical churches.
In the uprising within Ukraine in the past few years, that for the first time in 1,000 years, Orthodox and evangelicals came together. And something blossomed there that hadn't been there in the history of Christianity in that nation. Is that beginning to happen now in the post-war years here?
Not so much. Well, in Lebanon, it's not so striking. But just to give you an idea, for the last 4 or 5 years in Youth for Christ, we have been bringing church youth leaders from Syria out to Lebanon.
Very good.
And training them in youth ministry and sending them back. We 4 or 5 years ago, we started doing it two groups a year, one for the evangelical Protestant churches and one for the Catholic and Orthodox churches.
Interesting.
We couldn't put them together.
Not yet.
The Catholics and Orthodox would not send their young leaders to sit with the evangelicals, even though they knew we were evangelical background.
Interesting.
But somehow, some of our leadership and the guy that made the contact won their trust and said, it's okay, but let's not put them together.
Not too many steps at once.
Yeah. The same thing in Iraq. A few years ago, we went to northern Iraq, to Erbil. We've been there twice with Youth for Christ to do leadership training for youth leaders. And somebody came and asked us if we would go back and do something for the Catholics and the Orthodox. And when we said, not with the Protestants, he said, no, we cannot mix them. We've got to. We never went back for different reasons. We didn't, not that we didn't want to, it just didn't materialize. But again, the same idea, don't bring them together. In Jordan, in Egypt, there is some rapprochement. And Youth for Christ in Egypt, for example, does work with some of the Orthodox, Coptic Orthodox churches. Yeah. Depending on the priest, I think. It's all personal relationships.
It always comes down to people that have relationships.
That's true.
And with Jesus. I mean, if Jesus is coming alive in a priest's life, and his faith is growing and budding, of course, you want to share Jesus more than ever.
Yeah.
And that's what Youth for Christ has been all about along the years, because they were an evangelical student movement in the United States. Mm-hmm. And we hear maybe the brand of Campus Crusade more over the years, and we've heard Youth for Christ recently in the United States. But it has one of these storied missions stories of all time.
Yeah.
Youth for Christ and Billy Graham go way back, and many, many, many of the most influential Christian leaders in many organizations now came through Youth for Christ.
That's right.
Over those years.
Transworld Radio, Greater Europe Mission, I don't know who else, or Billy Graham himself. Billy Graham was the first paid staff member for Youth for Christ when he first started. And we're in about 130 countries now around the world. They're not all chartered, but there's YFC ministry in about 130 countries.
Okay, so talk to me about the legacy issue. We obviously have celebrated, and it was almost kind of a muted response to Billy Graham finally going home, because he'd been out of the limelight for a while. It wasn't a sudden death. And he was a very old man. It was one of those celebrations of a life well-lived over many, many years. But still, it's a momentous occasion when a lion of the faith in one generation passes. And we all know that he had a personal impact on an entire generation of Christian leaders and evangelists, not just winning people to Christ, but winning pastors to the cause. So how is that playing itself out now in these countries where you serve?
I would say that the older generation know who Billy Graham is. Mm-hmm. The younger generation does not. Unfortunately, the idea that evangelicals in the States are very involved in politics plays itself out, and everybody uses it, talks about it from their point of view, and it's not always good. I heard a lot about the Billy Graham legacy in the funeral that they had, and when his body was laid in state in Washington, D.C., and people came out and people spoke at that. I've seen quite a few things written about him, all positive. In 1975, Billy Graham and his team sponsored a youth conference in Brussels called Eurofest 75.
I remember that.
And a group of us went from here.
Youth
for Christ Lebanon, I was a director then. I took 32 young people with me to that conference.
That was probably a sizable chunk of the evangelical community here in this country at the time.
There was, There was the war had just started, the Civil War. A few months before that, it had stopped, so we were able to go. And one afternoon, we had a meeting with Billy Graham.
Very good.
And we gave him a water jug with all our names signed on it, clay water jug, and we have some pictures with him. And out of the group, there are at least five people who became pastors, and quite a few people recommitted their lives to Christ. They came back, and they were lay leaders in their church, school principals, and so on. It had an incredible impact on just our group of 32 young people.
I think about the years I spent as Youth for Christ leader in my high school coming up, and the attitude and the expectation from the leaders was everybody affected. Yeah. No one's going to be left aside. We're not looking for a few. We're looking for everybody.
Yeah.
And we're not going to settle for just a few.
Yeah.
We'll always be on mission, always looking for the last person who's not touched yet.
Yeah.
And, of course, from that group, we had dozens of people ended up in ministry some part in the world.
Yeah.
And so they were world changers. That was their attitude. They talked about that, even the Jay Kessler years. Everybody was supposed to be on mission. Everybody was a world changer. So how are they changing the world now? How is this generation responding to the current needs?
Let me just tell you my story. I finished my university education in 71.
Okay.
My bachelor's, they went straight into Youth for Christ. And I was with Lebanon Youth for Christ. I became the director for 39 years in 2010. 2010, I became regional director for Middle East, North Africa. Mm-hmm. And a year and a half.
That covers how many countries?
Well, I always say it sounds more impressive than it really is. Because it goes all the way from Morocco in the west all the way to Iran.
Mm.
From Turkey down to Sudan and everything between. I mean, it's
a lot of miles.
It is. It's a huge area, very complex. Mm. But of course, we are YFC is only in about five countries. Organized, we're in Lebanon, in Egypt, in the UAE, a small program in Bahrain. We started something in Tunisia. It didn't work. We started something in Jordan. After 3 years, we stopped. The board is still in place, but we are just about to restart that. We're appointing somebody, hopefully in July. Because of our connection with Syria over the last 4 or 5 years, because of the war, we have 3 part-time workers in Syria. They just started in Damascus and Aleppo.
And you mentioned earlier that you're sending youth leaders back into the country.
Yes, they come out here, we train them, and then we send them back. And that's how we got these 3 who wanted to do YFC ministry in Syria.
Amen.
And hopefully in May, we'll start something in Iraq, in Baghdad. And his hope is we'll start in Baghdad, but go to other cities too. So
let's just pause there for a second so our audience can get a grasp of this. The very place where the most vicious war on the planet's being fought right now is the very place where youth are on mission to win other youth, and Youth for Christ is still being Youth for Christ.
Yes. I think challenging youth to win other youth to Christ, that is the challenge.
Yeah.
Especially in places like what Lebanon went through during the 1975 to 1990 civil war, what's Syria going through right now. Mm-hmm. What Egypt is going through right now. And I think the challenge is a lot of the young people, in general, they just want to leave.
Yeah.
They're fed up with it. Some of them are scared. They don't see any future.
Yeah.
So even in Lebanon, which has had sort of peace since 1990, except for occasional skirmishes with our neighbors, the idea is if I can leave, I want to leave. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in the States or Canada or Europe or Australia or wherever it is where I can find a job.
And the diaspora is very large.
It's very large everywhere. And like I'm an Armenian. We had, and our story goes back to the genocide in Turkey. We came down, our forefathers came here. And we had over 300,000 Armenians in Lebanon. Now it's less than 70,000, I think.
And so where have they all gone?
Mostly the States, Canada, mm-hmm. Australia. So the idea is, you know, I want to go somewhere where I can make a future for myself, for my kids. And I tell young people, if you are staying in Lebanon because it's more comfortable and you make more money, you don't. Because you won't. It's not comfortable. It's a difficult life. But if you're going to stay, if you're Christians, I would tell them, if you're going to stay in Lebanon, stay because the Lord wants you here and can use you here.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again just by opening up your favorite browser app on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please be sure to sign up for our email updates. Again, just go to CompassionRadio.com.
Just a day away, but Lord, I trust you. The best and worst of days are yet to come. Be glorified regardless of the cost. Be magnified whether joy or loss. Lord, I trust you.
Wow, that's Selah with a song called Lord I Trust You from their album Unbreakable. And we'll send you your very own copy of it today when you support this ministry financially. You can do that by going to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. We are always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
And I think the challenge is a lot of the young people, in general, they just want to leave.
Yeah.
They're fed up with it. Some of them are scared. They don't see any future.
Yeah.
So even in Lebanon, which has had sort of peace since 1990, except for occasional skirmishes with our neighbors. The idea is, if I can leave, I want to leave. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in the States or Canada or Europe or Australia or wherever it is, where I can find a job.
And the diaspora is very large.
It's very large everywhere. And like, I'm an Armenian. We had, our story goes back to the genocide in Turkey. We came down, our forefathers came here. And we had over 300,000 Armenians in Lebanon. Now it's less than 70,000, I think.
And so where have they all gone?
Mostly the States, Canada, Australia. So the idea is, you know, I want to go somewhere where I can make a future for myself, for my kids. And I tell young people, if you are staying in Lebanon because it's more comfortable and you make more money, you don't. Because you won't. It's not comfortable. It's a difficult life. But if you're going to stay, if they're Christians, I would tell them, if you're going to stay in Lebanon, stay because the Lord wants you here and can use you here. If you stay here with a sense of mission, then you'll find satisfaction, even though, you know, the traffic is awful, there's corruption in the government, electricity cuts have been since the beginning of the war, water shortage, whatever you want, it's all there.
Yeah.
To a bigger degree, it's in Syria. I recently read a book called Why God Calls Us to Dangerous Places. And after I finished it, I put something on Facebook, and one guy in Syria that has come to training here, he said, I wish there was a book that said Why God Calls Us Away from Dangerous Places. And I wrote to him, I said,
that's a fair question.
And I said, maybe you should write a book that says Why God Tells Us to Stay in Dangerous Places. Because I think unless the Christian young people get a call from the Lord to stay where they are and make a difference where they are, we're going to lose this area.
Yeah.
I mean, the number of Christians in the Middle East is dwindling. And if we go with the idea, let's go to a safer place, who is going to reach the people who are here?
Yeah.
The Muslim community, the non-believing Christian, nominal Christian community, and so on. Who's going to tell them about Christ?
And, of course, the pressure is on right now for an entire generation of, as they call them, Muslim background believers. They're open now because they've been completely emptied.
There is talk.
They've lost their faith.
Yeah, there is talk. I've heard it from more than one person that works very directly with Muslims. A lot of them are saying, if this is what Islam is, I don't want anything to do with it. But that doesn't mean they're becoming Christians. They're just becoming atheists or agnostics.
Right.
Now, if the Christians can step up and show the love of God, that will make a difference.
And, of course, in the camps in the Bekaa Valley, that is happening, and it's very hopscotch. I mean, you jump around. Different agencies have adopted different camps. And as I've been experiencing, most of these camps are what we would call private camps. that there's landowners and agents who will try to set up a little, like a mini corporation for resettlement, just keep people there and give free labor to the farms. And they're creating a kind of a sub-economy in similar ways to what America has done with immigrant labor coming up from Central America. They're exploiting them in the same kinds of ways here in Lebanon. But it's meant to be temporary in the minds of those who are allowing it to happen. And, of course, the Syrians want to go back as soon as possible. There's not a lot left behind them to go back to at the moment.
And it depends on what side of the fence they're from. If they're if they are with the group that is fighting the government and the government is winning, they don't want to go back. They're scared for their lives.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up your favorite browser app on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please be sure to sign up for our email updates. You'll also find our P.O. Box info along with all our social media links. And if you have a moment, please take the partner survey. This would really help us to better serve you. Again, go to CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the wonderful reports of the exciting things happening in the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We are 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the album from gospel vocal trio Sela called Unbreakable as our way of saying thanks. You can give just by going to CompassionRadio.com. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. And thanks so much. Here's Bram with a closing word.
Hi, friends. I'm in Beirut this week, following some of the most inspiring people you'll ever meet, as they do incredible work. The gospel is going out with power here and redeeming people in amazing ways. In turn, they've been introducing me to the beautiful people that God has placed in front of them. Make sure to spend a few minutes at the Compassion Radio Facebook page to see some pictures and videos of these wonderful folks. I want to bring you these stories and interviews so that your faith will expand and burst forth with joy and powerful authority. That is our calling. Will you help us keep doing this very thing? Will you help us stay on the air and in the field, bringing you good news stories each and every day? We can't do it without your prayer and support, friends, and right now we need both. God has always inspired our Compassion Radio family to give in exactly the measure needed, and I'm counting on the fact that this is still just as true today. When you give, I know that God will be pleased, and the world will hear how much you love them. So let us hear from you today.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.